The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so the good news here, ladies and gentlemen, so far we have not launched any sort of a nuclear attack on Russia. You just don't know with Joe Biden. You don't know what's going to go down. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and we have breaking news underway as we begin the program today. Of course, President Biden meeting with Vladimir Putin over in Switzerland, and they're having a sort of a roundabout right now. So Biden is speaking, or rather Putin is speaking, and we're going to be hearing from Biden. So our team is monitoring that, and as soon as we start hearing Biden's very first gaffes, you will be the first to hear them. So we're following these developments. It is not a pretty picture over there for the United States. I mean, just all around, it's a bad day for the U.S. of A., including the White House press corps that allowed themselves to get shoved around by the journalist and apparently some Russian security forces. And that's always embarrassing. I mean, if you're an American, look, I get it. I know the journalist. If you're a journalist, you hate America. I know. I get that. But you know what? You're still an American. You got to have a little bit of pride in your country. And if you've got the Russian security forces and the, let me put it this way. If you've got a Russian journalist who is the equivalent of, let's say Don Lemon over at CNN, the most profane name in news.
Ryan Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. Let's say you've got the Russian equivalent of Don Lemon. Now, as much as we talk about Don Lemon here on the Todd Starnes radio program, he's still an American. So if we had to choose, who are you going to support? Are you going to support Comrade Don Lemon or American Don Lemon? Well, you know, we're going to support the American because the guy's an American. That's what you do. That's what being a patriot is all about. You got to defend your fellow countrymen. So if you've got, let's say you're overseas now, okay, and you've got CNN's Don Lemon, and then you've got Judge, then you've got on the other side, you have Comrade Joe, Don Lemon. And let's say the Russian version decides to push around and shove around our guy. What do? Well, you turn around and you shove back, and you shove back twice as hard. I mean, how difficult is that? Come on, be a man, for God's sakes. Be an American. That's what you got to do. But anyway, the press corps, they're getting shoved around. It's an ugly scene. Joe Biden doesn't know where he is. And CNN, of all people, is actually praising Joe Biden's handshake. This is how bad it's going. They're praising the handshake.
These moments are about moments. And I'll tell you one moment I noticed there in the Biden-Putin interaction. The handshake, Biden looked Putin in the eye with a smile. Putin looked away. Again, you don't want to read too much or too little, but again, these are about public posturing. It's about how you project strength. And that was a notable moment to me as you watched
them
shake
hands. Who goes first? Who extends their hand first?
Yes, exactly.
And there was that moment
of hesitation. Biden did extend. He did extend.
We were waiting to see if there would be that handshake.
And there was.
And there was that handshake, and it was a significant handshake. Right. It's a good way to start this meeting, and let's see what happens over the next 4 or 5 or 6 hours.
Oh, good Lord. The reason why Putin was looking away is that he didn't want to laugh in front of Biden's face. I mean, he was like, really? Really? You got, we're going to go toe-to-toe, me and this guy? Are you kidding me? Let's see how things play out here. But I'm telling you, based on what I saw at the G7 last week and now this, I don't think Biden's going to be able to make it the full way. I mean, the guy is clearly not with it. And honestly, the security, the well-being of the United States of America is on the line here. I've again, never seen anything like this. So my question to you, and we posed this question on our Facebook live stream just mere seconds ago, do you believe that Joe Biden is going to be able to go the distance? Do you think that maybe this is the swan song, that they're sending him over here so he can meet the world leaders, they can at least put something up in the Joe Biden public library, and which will probably be, what, just like a small room? Maybe, I don't know. It's just something is just very off-putting about this. And you do wonder if this is being orchestrated as some sort of a swan song for Joe Biden to usher in the Vice President, Kamala Harris, who, by the way, held a big dinner for a bunch of the Republican female senators. And in an act which I'm surprised was not condemned by the left, she actually prepared part of the meal. So you had a woman in the kitchen preparing food. That seems to, I mean, again, any other president had, look, let's say Mrs. Pence was vice president and she had done that, she would have been crucified. What kind of a message is the Trump administration sending? Are they saying that a woman's place is in the kitchen? Well, if she can cook well, yeah, why not? You know, by the way, she made cheese puffs. I'm not making that up. She made cheese puffs. That was the pool report. So anyway, apparently a good time was had by all. Lots of wine was consumed and so forth and so on. So anyway, 844-747-8868. This is our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Do you think this is it for Biden? Do you think this guy has the gumption, has the fortitude, has the mental acuity to go the distance of his four-year term in office? ToddStarnes.com, website up and running. Had a great time at the Southern Baptist Convention meeting yesterday. I'll have a few things to say about that a little bit later on today. Want to thank my good friend Mary Walter for filling in yesterday. Did a terrific job, and thank you for being very kind and gracious to her. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, and their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, just had a wonderful time meeting, I'm not kidding you, about 60 or 70 of our listeners over on WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia. A lot of you folks were out at the Southern Baptist Convention meeting in Nashville, Tennessee, which one of the big votes was yesterday. The meeting is still ongoing. And we had our very first unofficial book signing, thanks to our friends at Truett McConnell University. They purchased a lot of our books, and they were giving them to people at their booth. Signed over 200 copies of the brand new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl, and had a chance to meet many, many of our listeners all over America. But there was a very large contingent there from WDUN. So thank you so much for the kind words and dropping by to say hello. And by the way, the time is running out to get a pre-signed an autographed copy of the book, which will be in bookstores next Tuesday. So if you want to get a pre-ordered copy, and I will personally autograph it and sign it for you, you got to go right now to our website, toddstearns.com, click on the store, and get yourself a couple of copies of Our Daily Biscuit. I will tell you this, that everybody who got a free copy has already ordered additional copies for their loved ones. And I've been hearing a lot of people saying, oh, this is going to make a great Christmas present, Mother's Day next year. It's just a fun book, and you are going to love it. Look, another interesting story as we're waiting for the Biden presser to begin, another crazy story out of San Francisco, and we have been following this story for quite some time. The shoplifting, the things that are happening in San Francisco right now, the lawlessness on the streets of San Francisco, it's absolutely unbelievable. It's in a way, we have allowed San Francisco, one of the most beautiful cities in America, to become a third world dystopian society where they're spending tens of millions of dollars to hire people just to pick up human waste off of the sidewalks and the streets. I mean, it's horrible. You've got dirty needles littering everything. Kids can't go to the playgrounds because they might get poked with a dirty needle, or some homeless or drug addict might come up and do horrible things to them. Not to mention what's happening with many of the stores around San Francisco. Now, they recently passed a law in California. This law makes shoplifting, so if you go out and steal something, if it's under $950, that means you're not going to get any jail time. They consider that to be a misdemeanor. So when this new order came through, what do you think happened? Look, it was like Christmas Day for every criminal in California. And they have been targeting business after business after business. So we have some video up on our website, and you got to see this. It's unbelievable. Some guy goes into a Walgreens on a bicycle, literally flies into the store on a bicycle, and starts taking everything that he can shove into this giant garbage bag, and then hightails it out of there. You got the security guard standing there watching, and a lot of people were wondering, well, wait a second, why doesn't somebody stop the bad guy from robbing the place blind? Well, it turns out that Walgreens has a policy that you cannot engage the criminals. It's too dangerous. So they don't want any staff people. They don't want any security guards to stop people from committing crimes inside Walgreens, which leads to the question, why would you need a security guard? I mean, if the security guard is going to be there and can't do anything, what's the point of having a security guard? So anyway, you've got this guy out there, and he's riding in and stealing everything and leaving. And people are really up in arms over this. So it turns out that since they started this law, they have had tons of businesses shut down. 17 Walgreens in San Francisco have closed, gone. Just about every Gap retailer, they've shut down too. And they're saying, look, we cannot afford to stay open in these communities. We cannot afford to do business because of all the shoplifting. So they're shutting down these businesses. There was a story here in Memphis, Tennessee, where we broadcast our program from, and there was a community, and it was a lower-income community, and they had a grocery store in that community, and it was a national chain grocery store. And finally, they had to come in and say, we're going to have to shut down this grocery store because of all the shoplifting. And the local community organizers went ballistic. How dare you? Where are people going to get their green beans and kumquats? How dare that? You're a racist. That's what they said. They literally called the grocery store people racist for shutting down the grocery store. But the reality is they were stealing so much stuff they could not afford to stay in business. Unbelievable. But this is the reality of it. There are people in society who literally think it's okay to go out there and shoplift. It's okay to go out there and steal. So they had this guy over on CBS News, and this guy on CBS News was talking about this, a big conversation, and the guy was saying, you know what, this is not a big deal. He said, this is shoplifting. The guy was probably just, he probably just needed something. And if somebody needs something, you should turn a blind eye and just let them steal whatever they want to steal. I mean, this is what we're talking about. This is the mentality in the mainstream media nowadays. This is the mentality among those on the woke left, that if you don't have something, it's permissible for you to go into a store and take it and walk out without paying for it. And if anybody has a problem, it's on the victim of your crime. And this is why people are literally running away from California. But you better be careful, folks, because if you are controlled in a city by Democrats, this is coming to your neighborhood. This is coming to your city. This is coming to your state. This idea that you are not allowed to operate a business, you are not allowed to engage in commerce because the shoplifters are going to come in and shut you down. And it is absolutely unacceptable. But this is the reality in California right now. And now you have the city Board of Supervisors in San Francisco. They had a big meeting about this. Well, we just don't understand why these people are doing this. Why are they shoplifting? We provide them with everything they need. Why, oh, why would they go into the Walgreens? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because they know they can get away with it. So if you want to fix the problem, we don't know how to fix the problem. What do we do? What do we do? I'll tell you how to fix the problem. You want to save $24 million on poop patrols? You start arresting people who are dropping their trousers and crapping in the streets. Throw them in jail. Punish them. Get them into mental hospitals. Will that really work? Yes, it'll work. And if you want to stop the shoplifting, what you do is you rescind that moron law and you start enforcing the real law on the books. You start throwing the book at these shoplifters. Throw them in jail. Make them do hard time. Or better yet, unleash the security guards and let them take care of business. This is unbelievable. But this is what they're having to deal with, and I feel bad for the shopkeepers. I truly do. These folks are out there trying to help their communities. These big companies like Walgreens, they come in to these communities, these neighborhoods, and I guarantee you this is a pretty nice neighborhood. I mean, we're talking about thugs who could go out and get a job, but they're lazy. They don't want to work. They want to steal. And until we address that problem, they're going to be stealing you blind, folks. Unbelievable. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. How do you stop the shoplifting, America? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. By now, you've all heard me talking about MyPillow and my good friend Mike Lindell. What an incredible product he has created for America. Those MyPillows never go flat. You can wash them, you can dry them as many times as you want, and they still maintain their shape. And you want to know why? made in the good old U.S. of A. And now, for a limited time, Mike is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. The regular price, $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. All MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So go right now to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNS. You are going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Set. Or you can call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS.
This video shows a guy in San Francisco stuffing items into a garbage bag inside a Walgreens drugstore, even as two people, including a security guard, recorded him on their cell phones. The suspect seems unfazed. You see him hopping on the bike, pedals between the two. The one guy tries to grab the bag, manages to keep hold of the stolen loot while riding the bike outside of the store. This all happened on Monday. Just watch the brazenness. He puts the bag on what appears to be a lift bike.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. Tries to grab. And out the door he goes. So at a recent meeting, Walgreens officials said thefts at its San Francisco locations have risen to four times the chain's national average over the past 12 months. They've also had to close 17 stores in the city over the past 5 years, largely due to the impact of thefts on their business.
So crime is never justified, of course.
I will say that. I think they could have made a little better effort to stop that bicycle. I mean, you could have disrupted that bike. But maybe there's...
I mean, if the guy's doing
that...
I don't
know if the guy
was armed. Well, yeah. You never know. And I think that there has been a movement in some retail locations to not put people's lives in jeopardy.
Right. Yeah, having them, I mean, you don't need to be a hero over, you know, some toothbrushes or whatever it is.
But should the security guard be videotaping when there's a woman videotaping right next to him? Yeah. I mean, you would think he could at least try to approach the guy.
Yeah. And also, why did you let him in the store with a bicycle?
The bicycle.
That was my first thought.
That reads also as an act of desperation. I mean, you're not getting rich off of what you take from a Walgreens. You're getting probably something you need. I don't know the details of that particular case.
I mean, a bag full. They looked like hair products.
That's what it says. It was hair
products.
Which are valuable.
So, yeah. And he's filling his bag full of them.
Well, there you go. A CBS This Morning. That was... That was the reporter there we were talking about in the previous segment. The guy says, yeah, you know what? All the guy's doing is just maybe stealing stuff he needs. I mean, you got to have hair product. You got to look good. Here's my question. Would this guy, would the reporter object if they went shoplifting at his house? If they burglarized that man's house, would the reporter feel the same way? Something tells me he would not. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you with us. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Very rarely do I, the host of this radio program, agree with the New York Times. However, I'm making an exception. So the mainstream media sent every reporter known to mankind to Nashville to cover the meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, the reason why this is important and that we need to talk about this is because as the Southern Baptists go, so goes the nation. They are the nation's largest denomination outside of the Catholics, and therefore they have a massive influence on the culture. But over the past few years, we have seen some of their leadership go woke and wobbly. I think it's fair to say that some of their leadership is actually waffling on some of the biggest issues of the day, from the LGBTQIA+ agenda to critical race theory. As a matter of fact, it was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, J.D. Greer of North Carolina, who said that you should practice pronoun hospitality when talking to transgender people, which caused a great bit of consternation within the denomination. And people are wondering what's going on here. You had another denominational leader who is no longer there. Resigned his job, a guy named Russell Moore, who was a radical never-Trumper, radical. And he was asked, well, would you go to a gay wedding? He says, no, I wouldn't go to a gay wedding, but I would go to the reception. What? You're not going to sit through the service, but you're going to go eat the cocktail weenies. That's what he's saying. So you've got all these Baptists meeting in Nashville yesterday, and I was there and had a chance to talk to a good many of them. They actually had stickers. Somebody had created stickers that said, say no to CRT. And another one had something to do with booting the Biden Baptist. So now, and it was a great point, actually, because many of these people are, in fact, never Trumpers. So the New York Times wrote a story about this. And I've got to share this headline with you because it really does sum up what happened yesterday. The New York Times wrote the headline, Southern Baptists narrowly head off conservative takeover. So the New York Times and just about every other major news organization in America, they understood what was really going on here. They understood that this really was a fight yesterday for the heart and the soul of the Southern Baptist Convention. And unfortunately, the good guys did not win. And by the good guys, I mean the people who are conservative, people who believe in traditional marriage, people who oppose critical race theory. They lost the day. Those folks lost the day. And look, it's a little frustrating, but I got to be honest with you. One of the reasons why, and I have to tell you, that this election, this presidential election within the Southern Baptist, really did mirror what we saw happen in 2020, where you had the mainstream media. They had four guys running for this office, four guys. The mainstream media only attacked the conservative candidate. That's it. They were hands off everybody else, but they went after the conservative candidate. And folks, they were playing dirty politics. I've never seen anything like this in a church setting. But it was pretty horrible. And now the question is, will the Southern Baptist Convention split, much like the Methodists did and all these other denominations? Big concerns about that. There was a black pastor who got up and in his sermon at the Southern Baptist Convention compared the 14 million members of the Southern Baptist Convention to the Old Testament sinful, evil town of Nineveh. Unbelievable. So I want to address a couple of things here. First of all, you need to understand something. Southern Baptists are not racist people. And if you are a Southern Baptist pastor or Southern Baptist Convention leader and you feel that there should be an annual repentance on racism, that's on you. That's not on me. So stop calling me a racist. Stop saying that I've got to repent for something that I did not do. If you, Southern Baptist Convention pastor or leader, in your heart of hearts, believes that you are a racist or you have racial tendencies because of the color of your skin, you've got the problem, not the rest of us. And I'm sick and tired of all of these people out there, and it's not just the Baptist preachers. It's the mainstream media. It's these Democrats going out there and saying, we've got to apologize for what we are. We've got to apologize for the color of our skin. We've got to apologize for our white privilege. We've got to apologize for the fact that we work our butts off to earn a paycheck, to buy a house, to buy a car, to not steal, to not take money from our fellow countrymen called welfare. I'm tired of having to apologize for that. It's disgusting. And shame on all of you weak-kneed people out there who are bowing down to the CRT movement. This is nothing but an evil, evil thing. And I will say this, and I gave a speech yesterday morning to a group called the Conservative Baptist Network, and I tried to encourage everybody to fight the good fight. And early on in this, I was contacted by these folks, and it was of my opinion at the moment that there was going to be a bloodbath because the woke side, they're not going to play nice. They were going to play dirty. It was going to be a street fight. And the conservatives, I don't think they understood that until it was too late. Because while the other side was literally going out there and calling conservatives racist, bigots, homophobes, xenophobes, misogynists. I mean, they were the accusations that were flying, it was unbelievable. And by the time the conservatives realized what was going on, it's too late. Too late. Because not only did they have the loud voices of these woke Baptist preachers, but they also had the mainstream media in their back pocket. And every single major news outlet in America went after the Southern Baptist Convention conservatives. This is how the game is played now. So the question is, what happens next? I don't know. Will the convention split? I don't know. But I can tell you this. If you belong to a church and your pastor cannot condemn critical race theory from the pulpit, you need to get the heck out of that church. Because that is not a Bible-based church. That is a political church. And I'm telling you right here, I am so glad. You know, I was prepared for this at the book signing. I was prepared for one of these woke Baptists to come up and try to accuse me of being a racist. And we would have had a come to Jesus meeting because I'm not tolerating that stuff anymore. And you shouldn't either. Stop judging people by the color of your skin. That is a lie, a damnable lie from the pit of hell. And if your preacher is preaching that, you need to get out of that church. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio. So good to have you with us. By the way, Congresswoman Nancy Mace coming up, and also Senator Bill Hagerty. We're going to be talking to Pastor Robert Jeffers a little bit later on, also getting his take on what's happening at the Southern Baptist Convention meeting. Let's go to the phones. Jerry from Chicago listening to us on the live stream. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind?
I heard you talking about the Southern Baptist Convention decision yesterday. Thought I might be able to shed a little light on it.
Well, let's go for it, Jerry. You're on the air.
Yeah. Okay. About, let's see, 1881, they came out with a critical text of the New Testament, which you might refer to as the critical text theory or critical Bible theory. And that was accepted in most of the Bible colleges today, and gradually, I'd say probably around 90-95% of all Protestant and Baptist pastors in the country are using some form of the critical text Bibles. And since then, the culture and the church attendance and everything else has just been going downhill as far as the faith of Christ is concerned.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Jerry. I mean, we've certainly seen this play out within the Protestant world, where there have been, we're talking, you know, millions of people have left the church, and that's a problem for America. If you do not have common ground on the religious side of things, you're going to have chaos in the culture, and that's the problem right now we're facing in America. Jerry, thank you for the call. And appreciate you calling in today and listening. Apparently, birds are now racist. This coming from the Washington Post. They've done a fairly lengthy piece about American birders having their own racial reckoning. Are you a birder? Do we have any birders in the audience? Is that what they call them, bird-watching people? Why not call them a bird watcher? Why didn't realize you call them birders? Anyway, they talk about a young woman by the name of Corina Newsom, a black ornithologist, and they say that she is as rare as some of the birds she studies. She joined the Georgia Audubon last year, and they praised her hiring because it was the first step to begin working to break down barriers so that people from all communities can fully enjoy birding in the outdoors. But as the Washington Post writes, overcoming these barriers will be daunting. As with the wider field of conservation, racism and colonialism are in ornithology's DNA, indelibly linked to its origin story. This is the biggest bunch of liberal lunacy I have heard, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the Washington Post would have you believe that black people are not allowed to enjoy birding or the outdoors. Now, as far as I know, there are birds in trees in minority communities, probably just as many birds in the trees of minority communities as there are in affluent communities or communities where there are white people. Now, I may be mistaken here. I don't know. But the idea that it is somehow racist to go out there and watch birds, I mean, how much money does it cost to literally walk outside and enjoy nature? You don't even have to have shoes. I remember when I was a kid growing up and raised in North Mississippi, right across the state line from Memphis, Tennessee, there were a good many summer days where we did not even need shoes. We were outside playing in the backyard or running around in the woods, having a good time. I didn't realize that apparently minority children were denied the same pleasure. Were there signs on the trees that said, you know, that minorities not welcome in the park? Not to my knowledge. Unbelievable. Anyway, a lot of this goes back to John James Audubon himself, who was a great conservationist. The name of the National Audubon Society, of course, named in his honor. The editor-in-chief, Elizabeth Gray, said in a statement, "I am deeply troubled by the racist actions of John James Audubon and recognize how painful that legacy is for black, indigenous, and people of color who are part of our staff, volunteers, donors, and members." May I just say something here? If you are that triggered by the name of John James Audubon, don't get a job there. Don't volunteer your time there. How difficult is that for people to understand? For some, the pain is real. This is an actual sentence from the Washington Post story. When one woman first wore her organization's work shirt, quote, "I felt like I was wearing the name of an oppressor. The name of someone who enslaved my ancestors." All right. May I just ask a question here, Grace? And I'm not that big in the birding community. I see the birds.
Me neither. I don't really go bird watching.
As a matter of fact, I was walking in this morning. There was a bird on the front porch.
No.
And I said, "Hello, bird," and it flew off.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of bird. I just say, "Oh, there's a yellow bird."
It was a blackbird, and I don't mean that in a negative way. It was a blackbird.
Sure.
I'm just telling you.
Just stating what it looked like.
The color of the bird.
Because we don't know the bird's name.
It was a bird of color. Why don't I just leave it at that? It was a bird of color.
And we don't know the bird's pronouns.
I don't know the bird's pronouns. But it just seems to me that if you have a problem with these people, don't get a job there.
I agree.
And exactly how many names? People mocked me. Remember when I said, who else are they going to dig up talking about Nathan Bedford Forrest?
Oh, yeah.
Who else are they going to disinter?
Here we go.
Here we go again. I mean, at what point do you say enough is enough? That's what I want to know. But I am curious. Is the dodo bird still extinct? Or?
Oh, my gosh.
Because I think we have a new sighting.
I think we do, too.
I think we have a new sighting. And as they say regarding the dodo bird, birds of a feather flock together. Or something like that. All right, we got to take a break here. Unbelievable. So bird watching, now racist. Just add that to your list right under mayonnaise and white bread and Engelbert Humperdinck. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
All right, well, welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. I'm Todd Starnes, your host. Great to be back with you, and a very special thank you to Mary Walter for filling in yesterday. Good to be back. Had to drive over to Nashville for the Southern Baptist Convention meeting, and I am good to be out of there. And back with you, good people. Wow, we've got a lot going on. Senator Bill Hagerty is going to be here in just a little while. Also, Dr. Robert Jeffers will be here to weigh in on the Southern Baptist Convention. And Congressman Chris Stewart is going to drop by to give us his take on the meeting between President Biden and Vladimir Putin. So we'll talk to him a little bit later this hour. Right now, I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Very honored to have with us from the great state of South Carolina, Congresswoman Nancy Mace. Nancy, good to have you back with us.
And thank you so much for having me back on.
By the way, real quick, just to update from the last time you were on the show talking about this horrible attack at your home, any update yet? Have the police given you any indication of who might have been responsible?
Well, we have footage of someone, an individual. The law enforcement did a handwriting analysis of another similar crime back in February in Charleston, and they linked the two. They're the same person. And so we have some footage of that person, but it's so hard to see anything on who they might be, age or anything, because it's dark in the middle of the night, hooded, you know, masked and everything. And so that's one of my greatest frustrations right now. We're just asking anyone that could have seen anything that might recognize this person to let the police know so we can hold them accountable.
And, of course, the mainstream media turning a blind eye to the story and even going so far as to accuse you of perpetrating the crime.
Right. And if I were a Democrat and this had happened, there would have been wall-to-wall coverage. There would have been empathy. But because I'm a Republican, worse yet, a woman who's Republican, worse than that, conservative Republican woman, I did this to myself. I'm being re-victimized with these folks. And it's insanity to me. I mean, I'm a single working mom. Like, why would I want to put my kids through this? Why would I want to risk losing my kids over something as stupid as that? And I've had to increase my security both around my home and on my person. I conceal carry now every single day. And it doesn't feel good to have to, it's like you're looking over your shoulder. And it scared my children too. It's not been a good couple of weeks.
No, it's unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. And we've got to get to the bottom of this. And it sounds like the police are on the case, and let's hope they catch whoever did this. Meanwhile, over at the border, we got word yesterday. President Trump says he has accepted the governor of Texas's invitation to come to the border, doing something that Kamala Harris refuses to do. As a matter of fact, she was in your state yesterday.
Right. South Carolina is doing a fine job of vaccinating people. We're not the worst state in the country. And she decided to stop in Greenville versus going to the border. It's been 150 days into the Biden presidency, and our borders are, Vice President Harris has yet to visit the border and hasn't, you know, had time to see firsthand the worst humanitarian and national security crisis our border has seen in decades, what's going on down there. And meanwhile, you know, smugglers are openly advertising illegal border crossings. They're making a ton of money on it. They're advertising it on social media. These kinds of arrests of convicted sex offenders at the border, I mean, they're up over 3,000%. Smuggling drugs, smuggling people. I mean, it's insane what is going on down there, and we're letting it happen.
You know, I think as horrible as the situation is down there, this has to benefit Republicans in 2022. We've already seen three mayoral races in Texas flip parties. You had what Republicans winning in Fort Worth, Arlington, Texas, and also in McAllen, Texas. The first time in what almost two decades they've had a Republican leading that city. Are you starting to see that in other places around the country?
I believe so. And already in the House, we've seen six Democrats announce their, quote, retirement, or their run for higher office because they won't win re-election. We're seeing that around the country as well. I think that all of those point to good signs to being able to get the majority back in the House. The Senate, I think, is a little more dicey. but we only need 5 seats to get there, 6 seats to get there in the House. And, you know, the Biden administration and Nancy Pelosi especially is giving us everything we need. They're talking about the highest tax hike in American history. We've got inflation. We've got debt we've never seen before. The economy, the way that it's lagging. We're paying people to stay home. We have a border that's wide open for criminal cartels to come through. I mean, we have so much to talk about and run on against these socialists that are bringing those policies to Washington. We're in a really strong position if we can stay together and stick on those issues that are important to the American people. This doesn't sell. And look what they just did in the infrastructure package. You know, they're trying to sell art and social justice and school lunches and a roads bill. I mean, come on. This isn't, American people aren't going to buy that.
Well, I don't think they will. And I do think that the Republican Party will see gains, especially among Hispanic Americans, because they ultimately see what's going on, especially with these open border policies. It's just insane. The numbers of people that are not only coming across the border, but now they're dropping these people off, dumping them off in states in the interior against the wishes of the governors. This is appalling, and we've got to call this out.
Throwing children over fences and border walls, too. I mean, what they are doing is disgusting, and the left won't do anything about it. I mean, it's an enormous crisis, and I got to hand it to Republicans who've been going to the border and showcasing what's actually happening. This is a massive humanitarian crisis, and the left is doing nothing about it.
No, you're right about that. All right, Congresswoman, we always appreciate you coming on the program, and let's hope again that the police capture the person that terrorized your home.
Thank you. I'm praying so, and I just want to thank the police for doing their job in every effort to find who did this. It's past time to hold people accountable for political violence in this country. Enough is enough.
Well said. All right, Congresswoman Nancy Mace, the Republican from South Carolina, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Brand new poll out from Morning Consult and Politico. A slight majority of Republican voters say the state-level reviews of the presidential election will uncover information that will reverse the outcome of the presidential race. According to the poll results, 51% say they think the review of the election will change the outcome, 29% who definitely think it will change the outcome, 22% who think it will probably change the results. Overall, roughly three-quarters of Republican voters, 74%, support these state-level reviews. I can tell you that the never-Trump Republicans on Capitol Hill do not ascribe to that. And honestly, I'm not sure that it is going to change anything. But one of the things that does, I am slightly intrigued by, is this idea that's being floated around to put Donald Trump in as Speaker of the House if the Republicans retake the House of Representatives. Got to tell you, folks, that's going to make some great radio. That's going to make some great TV if that happens. But if the Republicans do manage to retake control of the House of Representatives, would you like to see Donald Trump installed as the next Speaker of the House? I was talking to some conservative political folks over the past few days, and they're of the opinion that Trump is not going to run for the White House. That they think that he would rather be a kingmaker working behind the scenes. And, of course, with Trump, nobody really works behind the scenes. It's right there. You see what the president's doing. But there are a growing number of Republicans who say, you know what? Yeah, we would like to see Trump as the Speaker of the House. What say you, America? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstearns.com. While you are there, don't forget, download our free newsletter and podcast free of charge. Thanks to the great listeners of this radio show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Well, it wouldn't be entertaining. I will give you that much. Donald Trump as Speaker of the House, do you think it would be Kevin McCarthy? I mean, really, Kevin McCarthy. The man couldn't even get Liz Cheney under control. I would, if it's not going to be Trump, I would say Jim Jordan. He'd be great. I think he would do a terrific job. Andy Biggs would be a great job as well. What say you, America? 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Scott in Chattanooga, Tennessee, listening to us on Nuga Radio. Hi, Scott. What's going on?
Well, thank you, Todd, for having me on the show. I do believe that Trump should be Speaker of the House because he could do more powerful things there than president, because you've got those never-Trumpers that I'm blaming for what's going on. They'll vote for Casper the Ghost or Kanye West or whatever. So I would say Trump would do way more than, way more, be more powerful.
So what would you like to see him do? Let's say the Republicans take charge of the House of Representatives. They install President Trump as the Speaker of the House. What would you like to see him do?
Oh, he could straighten out all the mess that's going on. He'd just be more powerful there. He could stop all the rhetoric that's going on right now in Congress. He could stop the double standard, a bunch of stuff that he can't do as president.
Well, this is an intriguing thing, and there are a lot of people that agree with you, Scott, that Trump could actually be more effective as the Speaker of the House than he was as president, mainly because the president would be controlling things and could possibly pave the way for a Ron DeSantis presidency. And could you imagine those two working together, one in the House, one in the executive mansion? It would be a pretty spectacular thing to see, in my estimation. Scott, got to run. Thank you for the call. 844-747-8868. Liz Cheney back in the headlines, by the way. She's going after Congressman Paul Gosar from Arizona. And Gosar is demanding answers over the murder of Ashley Babbitt. You might remember she was the Trump supporter killed on January the 6th inside the Capitol building. And a lot of conservatives are torn over this. As a matter of fact, I was reading a message from Neil Bortz, the great talk radio host in Atlanta. Neil Bortz said, folks, she was breaking the law. She was advancing on law enforcement. She was in a building she had no business being in, and the police officers were right to defend themselves. Keep in mind, Ashley Babbitt had no weapon of any kind on her body. But anyway, Liz Cheney is very upset because she says that Paul Gosar is refusing to accept reality. Liz Cheney writing on Twitter on January the 6th, as the violent mob advanced on the House chamber, I was standing near Gosar and helped him open his gas mask. The Capitol Police led us to safety. It is disgusting and despicable to see Gosar lie about that day and smear the men and women who defended us. Now, there's another story out there, and Tucker Carlson was talking about this last night on his Fox News Channel show, and he suggested that there may have, in fact, been FBI informants in the crowd that advanced on the Capitol building. Now, we have not been able to independently verify that, but Tucker Carlson is beyond a shadow of a doubt. He believes that the FBI was involved. Now, look, I have said this once before, and I'm going to say this again. We don't know what happened on January the 6th. This whole thing smells to high heavens. And at the end of the day, it seems to me that what we are dealing with is a political move. It was something orchestrated to make President Trump look bad. And I'm still not understanding why we have so many people still in jail for an event that happened on January the 6th. You have people who are literally murderers walking the streets, but you've got these men and women who, for whatever reason, were at the Capitol on January the 6th, and many of them are still behind bars. at some point, when do you start classifying those people as political prisoners? And when you compare how the government is treating those people and then compare that with how they treat the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa terrorist, it's night and day difference. Those people are literally burning things down. They are literally pillaging and plundering and looting, and yet they are never called out on that. Never. As a matter of fact, I don't recall a single activist from BLM or Antifa. They were sleeping in their homes in the dark of night, and all of a sudden the SWAT team knocks out the front door and comes barging in. That's never happened. But it's happened to the people who were engaged in whatever happened on January the 6th. You say, Tom, what do you mean whatever happened? We know what happened. No, we don't know what happened. There have been no investigations, and every single day we get new information that casts doubt on the official narrative that was being advanced by the mainstream media. So, no, we don't know what happened. And until we do, I'm not willing to cast judgment. So I'm keeping the powder dry, as they say. Keeping the powder dry. And Tucker Carlson is right to be raising these questions. Were there FBI informants in the crowd, part of the organizing crowd of whatever happened on January the 6th? And if so, we need an explanation. As a matter of fact, Business Insider is already calling out Carlson, says that his claims that FBI operatives organized the attack is simply baseless. He's got no evidence. But I don't know about that, folks. I don't know about that. Is it possible? Is it remotely possible that there were bad apples inside the FBI who wanted to stick it to Donald Trump? Is it possible, is it remotely possible that FBI agents did organize whatever happened on January the 6th to try and permanently destroy Donald John Trump? Is that possible? You see, I think it is possible. You say, Todd, how can you say that? We're talking about the FBI. Yes, we're talking about the FBI. The same FBI that targeted President Trump and his administration. The same FBI that had agents involved in a horrible, horrible affair, texting horrible things about having insurance policies in case Trump got elected, talking about Trump supporters being smelly Walmart people. So, yeah, I do believe it is remotely possible that you could have had FBI agents organizing and planning whatever happened at the Capitol and then blaming it on the Trump supporters. Yeah, I think it could be. But you see, we will not know until we investigate and get to the bottom of it. So at this point in American history, I say anything's possible. What say you, America? We're going to go to the phones, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Watching some of this Biden press conference, and he's already confusing Putin with Trump. It's not the best day in the world for President Biden out there. Good to have you back with us. Hang tight if you're on the phones. We're going to get to your calls momentarily. 844-747-8868. Want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good to have with us Congressman Chris Stewart, member of the House Intel Committee. Congressman, what do you make of the president's performance thus far with the Russians?
Well, I don't know. I'm not terribly surprised. And to be honest with you, Todd, I haven't had a chance to observe much of it. It's been kind of a busy day. I got to turn it on for a few minutes just as I was waiting to come on with you. But the president, I mean, the president has such an enormous task ahead of him, and some of us question whether he's actually committed to performing this task, and that is to follow in the footsteps of President Trump, who was as firm as with Russia as any president we've had in a generation. And I'm just not convinced at all that President Biden feels the same way, nor is as nearly as committed to that same kind of willingness to put American prestige and American power on the line in order to confront who is essentially a KGB thug.
Well, no doubt about that. And Congressman, I hate to do this, but we're getting some bad buzzing and beeping. And so we're going to put you on hold. And Grace, let's see if we can't get that worked out. And if not, we'll have to get the congressman back on another time. In the meantime, let's do go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Joe is listening to us on the live stream from Iowa. Joe, what's on your mind?
Well, you're talking about who should be Speaker of the House. I think it should be Donald Trump Jr. And then have Daddy run, get president, and let the liberals' heads explode.
Now, what is it about Don Jr. that leads you to say he should be the next Speaker of the House?
He doesn't back down from anybody. He's got a pair, and he's not afraid to let people know what he thinks. He got that from his dad, I would guess.
Well, look, I mean, I think there's a lot to that. And you know, Don Jr. is a fighter. I'm not sure he's got the I don't know if he's got the political wherewithal to do that. I mean, no doubt that he's a fighter. But I think his dad would do a terrific job there, and I think he'd have a lot of fun at it.
I think he would, too. I'm just trying to get both of them in because I think I just think the liberals would just go mad.
Oh, they did. Well, they would publicly, but privately, all these media companies, Joe, they're losing millions of dollars in advertising revenue, millions, because nobody's watching. Nobody's paying attention to Joe Biden. Nobody wants to watch that. They love Trump, and they're losing not just millions of dollars in advertising, but they're also hemorrhaging viewers. So I think, you know, I think it might be good for that. So we'll see what happens. But we will write down your choice. Joe, thanks for listening to us and appreciate you calling in. Joe from Iowa, ladies and gentlemen, thinks that Donald Trump Jr. ought to be Speaker of the House and Trump ought to still run for the White House. What say you? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So we're watching this presser here. Biden so far confusing Vladimir Putin with President Trump. Biden says that Americans have not lived up to the idea of fundamental human rights, but he says we've always widened the arc. Quoting from Biden, I told President Putin in my agenda, it's not against Russia or anyone else. It's for the American people. I told him no president of the United States could keep faith with the American people if they did not speak out to defend our democratic values. So there you go. We'll try to get some audio from that here in the next little while. But President Biden, the press conference is ongoing. And the question is, did Joe Biden actually stand his ground? And that remains to be seen, ladies and gentlemen. That remains to be seen. By the way, just a reminder, if you have not already done so, we are inviting folks to go and pre-order copies of the brand new book coming out in just a couple of days now. We would love for you to go to toddstearns.com, and we are offering you personally signed copies of our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl, and we'd love to get that out to you. It makes a terrific gift. It's a nice keepsake as well. I think you're really going to love this. By the way, Avery Bryson telling us over on the live show blog that Joe Biden has a list of people that he's been told to call from. Let's take a listen to that audio.
I'll take your questions, and as usual, folks, they gave me a list of the people I'm going to call on. So, Jonathan, Associated Press. I'll take your
I want to play that one more time.
Folks, they gave me a list of the people I'm going to call on. So, Jonathan, Associated Press.
All right, there you go. they are controlling this man. You know, yesterday he was someone was trying to ask him a question. He keeps using this phrase, "I'm going to get in trouble." With who? You're the president of the United States. Who are you going to get in trouble with, Joe Biden? It's almost as if he is under someone's control, someone's thumb. And if he does the wrong thing, he says the wrong thing, he walks the wrong way, it's either, I don't know, what are they doing to the guy? Is this an incident of elder abuse? Are they threatening to take away his pudding? Are they locking him in a closet after he goes off stage? What are they doing to this guy? But they are literally controlling every single thing about Joe Biden. They could not do that with Donald Trump. Donald Trump did what he wanted to do. He was the leader. He made the decisions. But somebody else is making the decisions here. I want to play this one more time. Okay, maybe not. Again, President Biden saying, "I will take your questions." And then he said, "As usual," meaning they do this on a regular basis, "they gave me a list of the people I'm going to call on."
And as usual, folks, they gave me a list of the people I'm going to call on. So, Jonathan, Associated Press.
All right. Let's take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
I'm telling you, folks, something is not right up at the White House. And Biden, it's almost as if he's being held hostage. And he's letting us know this, maybe with just, I mean, he's trying, maybe he's giving us clues, saying, "Help me, I'm being held hostage. They're not letting me do anything. I can't have my pudding. They're withholding my Geritol. You got to help me, America." Something is not right here. Something is not right. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. North Carolina, Steve, listening to us on The Talk Station. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
Hey, I hope you're doing well. It's a matter of a great leader. A great leader, he or she does not know everything, but they know how to delegate authority to those who do. And Mr. Trump, President Trump, anybody who can go from being bankrupt twice and utilize the system legally, fairly, the way that he did, I'd call that a pretty wise person who, I don't know which president said it, if it was Eisenhower or Kennedy, but most people vote with their pocketbook. And under Trump, he can be crass, he can be abrasive, but he was effective, and he knew how to get the economy moving. And under him, we did. We had a robust economy, and we are positioning ourselves right now for failure. I really do believe that he should run either for the presidency again, or even better, Speaker of the House, because the president really is a figurehead who delegates authority. And I think he was really good at that. I think he'd be even better in a position that really does have weight, and that would be the Speaker of the House. I just think we need to make a change. I wish President Biden the best, but I just don't think he is capable. I think this administration is not capable.
No, I think what we're looking at right here is elder abuse, and something is not right here. Biden is he's always using those phrases. I'm going to get in trouble if I do this. They told me I can't say X, Y, or Z. And now today, Biden coming out and saying they gave me a list of people I'm supposed to call on. It's like he's a puppet, and if he goes off script, then something happens to him off scenes. I don't know what that is, but something is clearly not right here. Steve, good thoughts, and it's a great thought you had on President Trump. Look, the problem the Republicans are facing is that they just don't know how to fight. You know, for generations, they were not even in control of the House of Representatives. You had folks like Sam Rayburn. You had folks like Tip O'Neill, who controlled the House of Representatives. And if nothing else, maybe Donald Trump could show them how to lead and how to use the bully pulpit. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. By now, you've heard me talk about MyPillow. Mike Lindell is a good friend of not just this program, but of patriotic Americans around the country. His company, not only do they make incredible products, but they also employ American citizens. And this man is a patriot, and he is facing fierce attack from the left. I can't tell you how many businesses refuse to sell MyPillow products. And I will say this, that those of us here on the Todd Stearns radio program, we actually use the MyPillow products. Grace, did the doggy bed come in yet?
Yes, and Merlo loves it.
So the doggy bed, so Mike Lindell sent Merlo a doggy bed.
Yes. She tested it out yesterday.
And how did it go?
Oh, she loved it.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
God bless Mike Lindell.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get him to Memphis so he can at least, you know, shake Merlo's paw.
Yes, that's a very important meeting that has to happen.
So it's not only the not only is Mike Lindell a great American patriot, but he is also a lover of dogs, which is a great thing. And he also wants to make sure you are going to get a good night's rest and do so at a great cost price point. And Mike is offering some incredible deals just for our listeners. Right now you can get the queen size premium MyPillow, $29.98, the regular price $69.98. That's a $40 savings. All of Mike's products, every single one of them, whether it's the pillows, whether it's the doggy beds, whether it's the mattress toppers, everything comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So here's what I want you to do right now. Let's help Mike out and help yourself out, too. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use my promo code STARNS, and you are going to get incredible discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress toppers, and even the towel sets. You can also call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. All right, well, here is the audio of Joe Biden confusing Trump and Putin.
I caught part of President Putin's press conference, and he talked about the need for us to be able to have some kind of modus operandi where we dealt with making sure the Arctic was in fact.
What? Can you play that again, please?
I caught part of President Putin's press conference, and he talked about the need for us to be able to have some kind of modus operandi where we dealt with making sure the Arctic was in fact.
So is it possible that Biden really thinks that Putin is Trump or Trump is Putin? I mean, is there something? I mean, it's remotely possible, I suppose. And then you've got the audio, and you just can't play enough of this. Biden saying he's going to get in trouble.
I'm really going to be in trouble.
I mean, at what point, folks, do you stop and say, can we just have an honest conversation about this? I mean, look, what's really going on here? I mean, yeah, we can sit here and poke fun about Joe Biden. We can talk about how, you know, he raised a son who, you know, snorts Parmesan cheese, among other things, and smokes crack cocaine, buck naked in a bathtub. We can talk about that. We can talk about how Joe Biden is creepy and has some sort of a fetish for female hair. We can talk about the inappropriate comments and the things he does to small children, specifically little girls. We could talk about how he eulogized a known racist and former member of the Ku Klux Klan. We could do that. But at the end of the day, Joe Biden is still a man, is still a human being, And when you get old, you really, and you lose control of your faculties, there's really nothing you can do about that. It's not your fault. You're just, it's part of the aging process. And part of me feels sorry for this guy. And you wonder, who was it that put Joe Biden in the place to be the next president of the United States? Was it the wife? Was it the missus? Dr. and Mrs. First Lady Joe Biden? Is she the one who shoved him out? Did she want to be First Lady so much that she was willing to put her husband out there and embarrass her husband around the world? You know, they laughed at our president at the G7. They laughed at him. I mean, do you really think that Vladimir Putin, when he's staring across at Joe Biden, do you think that he feels lesser than? See, I don't think so. But something's not right here, and we've got to get to the bottom of this. And again, I feel for the president, because I don't believe he's in control of his own destiny right now. There are people around him. Maybe it's Valerie Jarrett. Maybe it's Barack Hussein Obama finishing up his fundamental transformation of the United States of America. Maybe that's what it's really all about. So we're going to take your calls on that. Who do you think is calling the shots up at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? And I'm telling you right now that whoever it is, they're in a pickle. Because if Biden can't finish out the term, you think Kamala Harris is qualified, is competent to be president? I don't think so. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, coming up after the break, we're going to be checking in with our good friend, Dr. Robert Jeffers, on the very latest with the Southern Baptist Convention. They can't even agree on a pro-life resolution. That's how crazy things are at the Southern Baptist Convention this week. Also, Senator Bill Hagerty is going to drop by, and we're going to be talking with Walker Wildman, a great new millennial who has a terrific show coming out, and we're going to get the lowdown from him on what's happening at American Family Radio. All right, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. Also, don't forget, pre-order a copy of our Daily Biscuit. We're pretty excited about this book. You're going to love it. You're going to laugh, and you're going to get fat because the recipes are really good, folks, really good. You can pre-order a copy at toddstearns.com. We'll be right back.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. It's gone from bad to worse for Joe Biden. President Biden, a little hot under the collar this afternoon, literally. He asked the reporters if he could take off his suit coat. Then he just got into a rowdy dow with CNN lady reporter Caitlin Collins. And he told her, what the hell? That's seriously. He says she was asking him about why he's confident Putin will change his behavior. And President Trump said, I'm not confident I'm going to change his behavior. What the hell? What do you do all the time? If you don't understand that, you're in the wrong business. Now, if that was Donald Trump, the media would have been wall to wall. Trump insults female reporter, tries to put female reporter in her place. Do you think they're going to do that with Joe Biden? Yeah, I don't think so. And then you had Biden just a few moments ago acknowledging what we all knew, that he has people telling him what to do. Okay, we'll get to that audio a little bit later on. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us from the great state of Tennessee, Senator Bill Hagerty. Senator, good to have you with us.
Great to be back with you, Todd.
And I know you're sort of following, you know, we're kind of getting all of these reports in real time, but what's your estimation of how the president has fared overseas?
Look, the president has had a very rough go. Vice President Harris had a rough week last week when she went to Guatemala, Mexico. And this is followed on the heels of that again. America last, America not speaking from a position of strength. And, you know, I think the whole G7 was overshadowed with the other leaders wondering what Vladimir Putin might do with Joe Biden and whether Joe Biden would be able to stand up to him. This doesn't look very good for America and certainly not for President Biden.
No, it does not. And there's just not an air of confidence. And I know people may have disagreed with President Trump on this or that, but by golly, when he was overseas, he was representing the United States of America. He was leading, and I'm not sure that Joe Biden conveyed that image in his trip overseas.
Todd, I can tell you that from firsthand experience. You know, my job before joining the U.S. Senate was as the U.S. ambassador to Japan. That's the third largest economy in the world after the United States and China, and a very important strategic ally for us. President Trump came and joined me in Japan three times during his tenure, and it was so clear to me and to everybody else that the world is hungry for American leadership and strength. It was absolutely necessary there. We had North Korea, Russia, and China right at our doorstep. It remains necessary today, and leading from the front is where America does best. Speaking from a position of strength is where we engender peace. And with Joe Biden reverting back to the Obama era, all you can say is it feels a lot like leading from behind again. And this is not what the world needs right now.
No, and it does make you wonder, Senator, who really is calling the shots here? I've noticed over the past couple of weeks, the president's been using this phrase, I'm going to get in trouble if I do X, Y, or Z. We know for a fact that he's got this list, and I know all presidents have a list of reporters to call out, but you do wonder what's going on inside 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Well, that concern was actually prevalent during the campaign. You know, back in 2020, people were wondering, Joe was hiding in his basement and that he was being managed so heavily and, you know, lights out early on in the day. It was amazing how this concern was manifesting itself even before the election. And I'm still, you know, just very, very surprised and shocked that we have constant discussion about his mental capability, his stamina. It's a great concern. And when you put a president that is in a weakened condition on a flight to go into very difficult, challenging conversations and discussions with, you know, adversaries like Vladimir Putin, with countries that are our allies that we need to be stronger. We need our president to be performing at his very, very best, and I don't think that we're getting that right now.
No, I'm in agreement with you, sir. Bill Hagerty, the great senator from the state of Tennessee, on the Newsmaker line. Senator, I just returned from Nashville. I'm a Southern Baptist, and there are about 20,000 Baptists in downtown Nashville right now for their annual meeting. Nobody wearing a face mask. Restaurants are full. It seems like life is back to normal, at least here in the volunteer state.
I certainly feel that way, too, and I commend you for going, Todd. You know, my uncle was president of the Southern Baptist Convention when he was alive, a great orator and a great leader, and that organization has left an important and indelible mark on the South. So I very much appreciate your continuing to stay engaged.
Well, I will tell you this. Most of the bars were empty, and I know that was Lower Broadway, you know. It's Baptist. What are you going to do? So maybe they'll get the Episcopalians next time.
I'm glad you had a good visit there, and I am delighted to see Tennessee back open again. Governor Lee, I think worked hard to keep us at the forefront, but we had city mayors that had different perspectives. You know, Nashville had a harder time getting back open, but now it feels like our state in whole is back in place. And you know how it is in Memphis, too. I'm sure you're seeing it there. But I'm glad that Tennessee is at the fore of reopening. That's what America needs. And it's not just about our health, which is important, but it's also about our economic vitality and about our mental strength. And so being back at every respect is absolutely critical. I'm glad to see it.
You mentioned the governor of Tennessee, and he's had a bit of an issue with the Biden administration. We're talking about Bill Lee, the Republican governor, and he told the Biden administration, hey, look, we can't handle these illegal aliens that you're sending to other states. And instead of, you know, following the governor's guidance, they sent planes in, the Biden administration did, dead of night into Chattanooga and who knows where else, dropping off these illegals that now we, the citizens of Tennessee, have to pay for.
Todd, we've been all over this. Marsha Blackburn and I have been on this from the very beginning. There were four private planes that came into Chattanooga. That's what you saw the reports on. They actually had it on film. They came in after 1 a.m. A friend of mine was literally on a commercial flight, an American Airlines flight from Dallas into Chattanooga. That flight landed again after 1 a.m. He said that he saw a group of young men in sort of the age range he thought was 12 to 14 years of age. He talked to the person who was escorting them. He said the person was bilingual. He was speaking to the young men in Spanish, but that he was explaining to him that they were taking these young men to Chattanooga to put them into a shelter there. We've also seen it in Knoxville. One of my friends sent me photos just over this past weekend of buses that came into Knoxville and unloaded a number of people. He didn't know who they were, but he said it looked like, again, they sort of fit the description on a Sunday morning, showing up at the Civic Center in an area that usually doesn't have any traffic on Sunday morning. And they're bringing them into our state, who knows about other states, and using it either as a point of dispersal or a place where they're going to reside. And so we have pushed very hard. Local leaders don't even know, Todd, you know, what's this going to do for our schools? Do we have the capacity to handle this in our schools? Do our hospitals have capacity, or will they be overwhelmed? Law enforcement certainly needs to know what are they dealing with and how many people are coming in here. Nothing from the Biden administration. They're trying to obfuscate this. They're trying to hide it. And we've got to press back hard.
And I'm glad you're doing that, Senator. And I know the people in the volunteer state respect that and appreciate that. And you're just doing a heck of a great job up there. And we appreciate you taking a few minutes to spend time with our national audience.
It's always great to be with you, Todd. I appreciate the time.
All right, Senator Bill Hagerty, ladies and gentlemen, this guy is a fighter, and he's doing what needs to be done out there, which is exposing a lot of this stuff. And he does it in a very amenable way. He's a very gracious man, but he also is a rock-solid conservative who has proven himself up on Capitol Hill, and we appreciate that. But again, folks, this border situation, you pay very close attention. The breaking news out of that conversation we just had, apparently, busloads of illegals were sent to Knoxville, Tennessee. Not just Chattanooga, but now Knoxville, Tennessee. You pay attention to what's happening in your communities, and we want to know about it. If you see that illegals are being dumped off in your towns and communities, let us know. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Behavior, Mr. President.
Yeah, I'm not confident in change behavior. What the hell? What do you do all the time?
So
when did I say I was confident?
You
I
said in the next 6 months.
I said
you'd be able to
what I said was.
Wow, that was Joe Biden completely losing it, and the female reporter Caitlin Collins over at CNN, the most profane name in news. Unbelievable. Wow. We'll keep you updated and see if CNN actually complains about that. But that's pretty reprehensible. Jeez, Alou. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. I want to go right to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, the official chaplain of the Todd Starnes radio show, our good friend, Dr. Robert Jeffress. And by the way, folks, Sunday I will be at First Baptist Church in Dallas, and we'll be signing copies of the new book, Our Daily Biscuit. Would love to see you folks out there. Dr. Jeffress, good to have you back.
Great to be back. And Todd, we're looking forward to Sunday. And I want to tell all your listeners, if they can't come in person to First Baptist Dallas, they can watch you being interviewed at our iCampus at firstdallas.org at 9:15 and 11 a.m. Central.
Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun. And you guys have a great online worship service. It's really the standard that many other churches around the country are starting to emulate. So it's a great stuff. I mean, you're talking about millions of people that watch you guys.
Yeah, but that's right. Between online and broadcast, we're now the most viewed program on Trinity Broadcasting Network. So God's blessing the ministry. We're glad you're coming.
So, Dr. Jeffress, I just got back from the Southern Baptist Convention meeting yesterday.
My condolences. Yeah.
Wow. I want to get your reaction there. I thought the New York Times, for the first time in my history, got the headline right, and they said that conservatives were unable to wrestle control of the convention away from the other side.
Yeah, you know, the New York Times asked me about what I thought about the convention, and I said Shakespeare really has the best analysis of the Southern Baptist Convention this week when he wrote, "Full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." And the fact is, Todd, it made a lot of headlines, but nothing that happened this week, no vote that was passed, no candidate that was elected, has any impact really on any of the 40,000 churches that make up the Southern Baptist Convention, because unlike other denominations, every one of our churches is independent, autonomous. And, the bottom line facing Southern Baptists this week is the question of how should the church respond when faith collides with culture? Should churches shape the beliefs of the culture, or should the culture shape the beliefs of the church? And most Bible-believing Christians believe the first, that the church shapes the beliefs of culture. People change, culture changes, God's word never changes. And Todd, in spite of what happened this week, the vast majority of Southern Baptists are strict conservatives, and they believe in the inspiration and inerrancy of Scripture. Nothing of substance changed this week.
No, I too believe that, Dr. Jeffers. I will say this, and the reason I jumped into the fray on all of this, I recognized early on that these conservatives were getting bullied, and that political tactics that the left uses were being used against our fellow Southern Baptists, and that's when I jumped into the fray.
Well, and I congratulate you for doing it. And look, I've not been tickled, to say the least, about the direction of our convention the last few years. I don't think there's going to be a mass exodus from the convention, but I think more and more conservative churches are going to do what First Baptist Dallas did a few years ago, and that is we changed our giving. We decided we were only going to support those things that we believed in. We didn't make a big thing about it, but we quit funding the ERLs. We did not like the direction it was going, and we decided to focus on the few things we do believe in.
On the Newsmaker line, our good friend Dr. Robert Jeffress, critical race theory was interesting. They watered down a resolution that would have condemned critical race theory. They did not mention those words, and I just can't think of a more heinous issue facing our churches than this infestation of embracing critical race theory and making people confess for the sins of their forefathers.
Well, that's exactly right. And critical race theory is completely antithetical to what the Bible teaches. And look, God hates racism. To hate anybody, including yourself, for the color of your skin is absolutely, again, opposite what the Bible says. God is the one who gave us our skin color, and we ought to rejoice in that. But this idea of reparations, look, I can't pay for anybody else's sin. There's only one person who can pay for the sins of another. His name is Jesus Christ. And look, we ought to confess racism in our past. It's true. This convention was born in the belief in slavery. We've repented of that. We've acknowledged that mistake. It's time to move on instead of continuing to wallow in the past. And that's what these liberals, these woke Christians want to do. They just want to keep revisiting the sin of racism. Well, there are lots of sins we need to repent of, but repentance means having a change of heart that leads to a change of direction. It's time to move forward past that.
Where do you think this goes? I know you've been pretty outspoken about the future of denominations in America.
Now, you know, Capstone Report carried a story today about my comments on your program 2 years ago about the Southern Baptist Convention. Part of what's going on is we are living in a post-denominational age. People don't like a mass bureaucracy, and I think more and more you're going to see a turning away from a denomination, especially when that denomination is going in a way that we're not pleased with. And look, I talk about selective giving. I have people throw back at me, well, what if people did that in your church? Look, God created the local church. We're to be a part of a church, and that means we're not going to agree with everything in the church. God didn't create denominations. They may be useful, helpful, but there's nothing that says we need to give our money to everything a denomination does. We need to be selective in our giving.
And on that note, Dr. Jeffers, I know a lot of people are a part of your ministry and the incredible TV program you guys have. Let folks know where they can get information about what you're up to.
Right. Our program is Pathway to Victory. We're heard on 1,800 radio stations every day and broadcast on TBN 7 days a week now at 11 a.m. Central. And to find out more, go to ptv.org.
All right. Well, Dr. Jeffers, we're gonna leave it there. Real quick, though, what do you think about the Mike Stone, who was the conservative nominee, Ed Litton, the moderate, described as a moderate Southern Baptist, will be leading the convention. Any thoughts there?
You know, I don't know either men well. I've met one of them, but don't know them well. And I think we ought to pray for their leadership and that they would keep the Southern Baptist Convention going in the conservative direction that has made it unique among all other mainline denominations.
Well said. All right. Well, Dr. Jeffers, look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Thank you. We're going to have a great time at 9:15 and 11. Everyone needs to tune in to see you.
Looking forward to it. All right, Dr. Robert Jeffers, ladies and gentlemen, from First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And as he said, we will be there Sunday after the service. We're going to be doing a book signing for my brand new devotional book, and it's my first devotional book. You guys know me. Normally, I'm writing political books, but this has nothing to do with politics. This is about good old-fashioned fun, and Lord knows we could use a healthy dose of that. If you can't make it to First Baptist Dallas, all you got to do, go to our website, toddstearns.com, click on our store button, and you will be able to get yourself a copy of our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Draw. We'll be right back. All right, a couple of things as we've been watching this disaster, dumpster fire of a press conference with President Biden. So first, he actually acknowledged that he's not the guy calling the shots. He said that there's somebody else who's actually determining who gets to ask a question. Let's take a listen.
I'll take your questions, and as usual, folks, they gave me a list of the people I'm going to call on.
And he did. And one of those people, by the way, CNN reporter Caitlin Collins, and he explodes. The audio is a little scratchy here, but I want you to take a listen to what happened at the end of the press conference after he got rid of his suit coat because it was getting too hot. Let's take a listen.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm not confident changing behavior. What the hell? What do you do all the time?
So he tells the reporter, the female reporter, what the hell, and goes after her. I'm telling you, folks, this is yet another sign of dementia, the sudden angry outburst. I mean, it's really, we've got the video up on our website so you can see it for yourself over at toddstearns.com. He goes on to say, what do you do all the time? If you don't understand that, you're in the wrong business, honey. No, he didn't say honey. I said honey, but you knew he was thinking it. I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Very honored to have a great American patriot. Walker Wildman is one of the VPs over at the American Family Association, also launching a brand new radio show. Walker, hope you're doing good today.
Hey, Todd. Good to be with you on your show, brother.
And congratulations on the new radio show. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But I want to get your reaction to Joe Biden's performance overseas, pass or fail.
Yeah, he absolutely failed. This has been a disaster, as you mentioned. And, you know, we can't even get a press conference with pre-approved reporters in the room, with the president having a pre-approved list of which reporters to call on and what they're going to ask. He can't even get through that. So this is, you know, it's sad in one form because of the state of Joe Biden's mental health, as you talked about. But it's more disturbing from a national security standpoint because, look, this is the commander-in-chief. This is if there is a time of national crisis, he's going to be the one supposedly making the decisions, calling the shots, and he can't even do a press conference. So I'm a little concerned about our country. I mean, we've got these cyber attacks happening like every other week. We've got Russia over here doing all kind of stuff. We've got China over here eating our lunch, even though Biden said in the campaign they're not going to eat our lunch. They're eating our lunch. So this is just overall a terrible situation to be in.
You know, Walker, I talk about you guys all the time on this radio program, and most of it's good, by the way. And I'm just kidding. It's all good. It's all good. But, I mean, out of all of the faith-based ministries out there, you guys have been out there from day one, and you have been so consistent in standing up for the American family, standing up for these attacks on religious liberty when so many other people have been falling by the wayside. And I say that because there's a story out from First Liberty Institute, and we have it up on our website. The Internal Revenue Service denied a tax-exempt status for a Christian nonprofit. And I want to read the reason why the IRS denied this tax-exempt status. They said that the reason why is because Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party. The fight for religious liberty goes on, my friend.
Yeah, this is not surprising. Look, we had Obama weaponizing the IRS to turn down new groups and delay their applications for political purposes. And then now, to this story, we have the Biden administration, instead of doing it behind the scenes covertly, they're publicly denying licenses, denying applications for 501c3 status based on political views and based on worldviews. So this is pure First Amendment religious discrimination. There's no other way around it. But this is not surprising. I mean, this is the modern day Democrat Party. Look, this party, there's no more where we have the radical wing of the Democrat Party and then we have the moderates over here. The entire party is radical. The entire party is radical, is anti-American, and is against the Constitution and pretty much every founding ideal that our founding fathers set up this country with. Your Joe Manchins of the world, they are the exception to the rule. The rule now is AOC, Joe Biden, being run by all the radicals, Ilhan Omar of the Democrat Party, and they're anti-religious liberty. They don't want Christians to have a part in any part of society. And we just saw this week how the Department of Homeland Security is now making it a top priority to basically, and this is put in my words, basically crack down on conservatives in all federal agencies, whether it be the FBI, DOJ, or the military. They're basically purging our government of people who happen to be Christian, people who happen to be conservative. So this is disturbing.
Walker, I know that you guys have a lot of Baptists that listen to your radio network and, of course, the Southern Baptist meeting in Nashville. I was there yesterday for the vote. How important is the Southern Baptist Convention to the culture at large, and what concerns you about what's been happening there in Nashville?
Well, I think in recent years, really the past probably 5 to 10 years, we've seen the Southern Baptists move to a point where they're not as relevant, unfortunately. And this is coming from a Southern Baptist myself. With Russell Moore taking over the ERLC the last basically 10 years, and now he's out, thankfully. With the ERLC, I mean, basically the Southern Baptist Convention and the ERLC haven't been promoting biblical values across society, across culture. And people say, well, how can you say that, Walker? Well, I mean, pretty much the ERLC was hijacked by Russell Moore to be this woke arm of the SBC. And all the things that evangelicals cared about the Jack Phillips case, about the case out in Oregon with the baker. I mean, we've got all these. We had the Kleins. You covered that story on your show over
quite
and over
a bit.
Again. All these major issues weren't being wholly ignored, but they were not being pushed hard by the ERLC, which was there to promote religious liberty in America and abroad. And instead, you had Russell Moore putting in a friend of the court brief for this mosque in New Jersey. several years ago. I mean, Russell Moore was promoting a Muslim setting up a mosque in New Jersey instead of fighting for religious liberty. So, look, the SBC has a conservative resurgence coming back now. Like we saw decades ago, the vote between Stone and the others was actually very close from what I saw. So that is good news, but it's unfortunate that Mike Stone didn't win because I was fully supportive of him taking the helm of the SBC.
And full disclosure, I was too. And again, I think I think the issue, one of the great issues facing our country and the culture especially, Walker, is that the Southern Baptists did disengage from the culture war fight. And, yeah. now they're battling over resolutions about, about abortion. And you're just, it's mind-boggling to see all of this happening in real time. But I feel that we are heading towards a very dangerous time if you have that many Christians disengaging from the culture.
Yeah, and what I'm tired of and what many Southern Baptists are tired of is we're tired of the pandering. I'm tired of pandering to the woke leftist crowd in hopes that somehow we're going to get them to come to Sunday morning service. I mean, these are people that fundamentally don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in a biblical worldview. And those are the people that we're pandering to. I mean, Russell Moore went and met with Obama when he was president, but then Donald Trump comes along and runs for president, and Russell Moore totally blacklists Donald Trump because Donald Trump isn't righteous enough to meet with Russell Moore and attend their panel discussion that they had in 2015 over on the East Coast. Instead, he invites Open Borders Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, and a few others, but he can go meet with abortion proponent Barack Obama in the Oval Office, and that's fine.
Walker,
it's the double-sided that's frustrating.
And again, this whole issue of critical race theory, they can't even bring themselves to utter the words critical race theory. And my here's my position on this, and if you feel otherwise, please, say so. But if you feel like you have to apologize for being a racist, then you need to apologize. But don't try to project that on me. You cannot expect people to be responsible for the sins of their forefathers. That is just simply of the devil.
Yeah, there's no part of critical race theory that can be used for any noble purposes. The entire theory is built on Marxism, and it's against Scripture. Scripture teaches redemption. Scripture teaches that there's reconciliation, that there's forgiveness of sins, not only between God and man, but also between man and man. That's what the Bible is set up on, is restoration and redemption. Critical race theory teaches that there is none of that. There is no chance at redemption, at restoration, at unity. There's always constant division, which that's totally against Scripture, and that's totally against how our country is set up. So critical race theory has no place in American society. It has no place in the Southern Baptist Convention. It's to be roundly rebuked, and should be, and we should make sure that it does not come up
right
at any seminaries or any Southern Baptist member churches.
Well said. And real quick, Walker, where can folks go to listen to the new show?
Yeah, they can go to our website, afr.net. That's afr.net. Right there on the homepage, you'll see my new show. It's called AFA at the Core. Each week, we'll talk about the core values of American Family Association and what people can do to stay involved.
Love it. And, folks, we have a direct link on our live show blog. Make it real simple for you. Walker, congratulations, and I look forward to getting you back on the show sometime soon.
All right, Todd, keep up the good work, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Good fellow right there. Amazing ministry and organization, American Family Association. Good folks. All right, we've been talking about, smells like the woke crowd. They kind of have like an odor about them. So what do you do if you got a bunch of like woke people in your house and they leave behind an odor? I got the solution for you. There's a great new device called the Thunderstorm Air Purifier from our friends over at Eden Pure. They sent me an air purifier about a month or so ago, and I love this thing. For me, not so much the smells, it's the allergies. And I normally cough and hack and wheeze, the whole nine yards, but I haven't done it this year, and it's because of this air purifier. This thing completely eliminates all the molecules, all the stuff in the air that would cause you to cough or sneeze. And it will do the same thing in your household, and these folks are friends of conservative talk radio, and they've got some great deals just for you. So here's what I want you to do. You got to check this device out. It's called the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. You can get yourself one over at EdenPureDeals.com. They have lots of other great stuff as well. EdenPureDeals.com. If you use the code word Todd when you check out, they're going to give you some great discounts and throw in free shipping. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code word Todd. Shipping is free. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
You know, I'm still trying to get a handle on this racist bird story. So now the Audubon Society is coming under attack because of the fact that Audubon, James John Audubon, owned slaves, allegedly, back in the day. And now Grace and Avery, they're saying that because this guy owned slaves, that the Audubon Society has to repent of its racism, and apparently open up bird watching to more people of color.
I wasn't aware there were any barriers that prevented you from going outside and looking at birds.
Yeah, same here.
The headline of the Washington Post, American birders have their own racial reckoning.
Huh.
So what are we supposed to do? Provide all people of color with, like, binoculars or something?
A lot of bird seed.
And a lot of bird seed. Oh, that's a good point. Well, that's a fair point.
And the bird seed gets everywhere. That's not my thing.
NPR has a story on this, guys. That's National Public Welfare Radio. And here's their headline. Monuments and teams have changed names as America reckons with racism. Birds are next.
Oh, my gosh. Birds of a feather flock together.
Mm-hmm. So NPR says, one says, our relationship with nature often begins with a name. It's an introduction that tells us something about that animal, like spotted turtle, gray tree frog, or yellow-bellied sapsucker.
Okay, I don't think too much about it.
In many names,
neither do I.
In many cases, the creature's name is not a window into its natural history, but a remnant of our own. Uh-oh, they're coming after blackbirds.
Here they go.
They're coming after blackbirds. But America is trying to come to terms with its complicated racial past by changing the names of institutions ranging from military bases to baseball teams. Now efforts are underway to change the names of some living monuments. Birds.
Dun, dun, dun.
While early naturalists like John James Audubon discovered a new bird, for example, they often named it after a friend or colleague. Have you met my friend Larry Sapsucker?
What in the world?
I don't know. So there's Wilson's Warbler, yes. Swainson's Warbler, and Kirtland's Warbler. I guess there are different names for warblers.
See, my brother used to birdwatch, and I'd tease him by saying, like, if he saw a downy woodpecker, I'd say, oh, is that an uppy woodpecker? I would just, like, change the names.
You've got Nuttall's Woodpecker. So the woodpecker, this woodpecker has nuts, is what they're saying.
Just keep going, Todd.
I'm going to keep going. Not going to stop there. You have Kaysen's Auklet, Bateri's Sparrow, and Bachman's Sparrow. You know, I would love to have a bird named after me.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be kind of cool.
Like a Starnes Swanson or something like that. I think that would
Starnes
work.
Starnes Swan. Yeah, actually,
Starnes
swan?
Eagle.
A swan is very mean.
Starnes Eagle.
Creature.
Starnes Eagle. Hello,
like
America.
Eagle.
Yes. Anyway, they go on to say that NPR, the whole point of this story by NPR is that some of these people may or may not have been racist, and therefore we may need to start renaming birds.
That's going to take forever. You know how many names are in the animal kingdom? If you start going for birds, you're going to start changing all the animals' names. It's just going to get very confusing.
Yeah. Yes. So the American Ornithological Society, geez, Lou.
Good job.
The American Bird Society.
There you go.
Says they're taking up the cause, quote, we call these bird names verbal statues.
What?
Because so many of them are truly honoring folks that were involved in colonial and Confederate times.
Okay, all I got to say is these people have too much time on their hands. That's it.
Yeah.
Get a hobby, please. And just get a hobby.
Yeah, they're taking up this cause or whatever, you know, when people are homeless, people don't have food to eat, you know.
People are stealing stuff at the Walgreens.
Yeah, exactly. But no, we can change the names of birds. That's totally
that'll solve
the
our problems.
10 list of priorities right now.
You know, speaking of birds, I'd like to know what they're going to rename what we do with our middle finger.
Oh, jeez.
That's what I want to know. All right, we got. You know what? We'll talk more about this tomorrow. The birds. We'll be back tomorrow. Be good, America.